And thirdly, it is important that the audit report is done, because a lot of people are third parties are waiting for this report. That is including all the other states that we have to file state charitable returns to about 45 states that are, and about majority of them are waiting for the audited financial statements before we could be given a reinstatement of our ability to conduct fundraising in their states. So there's a lot riding on that. Primarily New York State. New York is waiting for the 2012, for the 2013 and the 2014. And obviously they're not giving us the charitable organization license until we submit the audit report. And then, and again, New York has been facing a lot of grants coming from the city government or, and the state government that are being withheld because we do not have this audit. To me, that is fine, but I just wanted to make the committee aware that there is some repercussion by delaying this a week, 2 weeks, 3 days. It's really up to the committee. I'm just saying that, and I know that Grant has been kind of, you know, candid about, you know, he wanted you guys to see the final draft, but I guess there's not any numbers that's going to be changed. But, and we also know what other changes in the disclosure that will be added on by Grant or will be revised by Grant. So there's nothing really uncertain or not known to the committee at this point, other than the revision of the draft, and that's exactly what my point of view on the delay is.
Thank you, Ro.
Kim.
Kim, you have the floor. There's nobody
and,
on the staff.
And Carol on the staff, please.
Keep for the staff.
Okay, Carolyn. Who else? Kim, you have the floor.
Well, first of all of this is new information to me, Raul. I have repeatedly asked for information on the DNO, and the most I have is what I've gotten from Carolyn, which I sent to the Audit Committee and the PNB today asking for clarity on this, and I received none. My understanding was that they didn't need to see the audit. They needed to see a letter saying the audit was completed. So I'm not sure about that. I did not think that was what was at stake regarding this. This is new information. If the numbers aren't going to change, you can, it seems to me, finalize them in Great Plains while we're receiving the final draft, which we still don't have. And I don't understand the CPB in here, because we're clearly not going to make the April 15th deadline for CPB. The third party's waiting is news to me, so I just don't know. That's it for me. Thanks.
Point of order, Steve Brown. Can I say a word?
Who's this?
Steve Brown.
I'm putting you on the stack, Steve.
Okay.
What's your point of order, Brenda?
I know that we're kind of getting into dialogues that no longer include Grant. So would it be okay? I'm sure he doesn't want to be on the phone for us. He's been on the phone with us already for 2 hours. To go ahead and have him get off the call, and then that way we can proceed if it's okay with the committee.
I think that's up to Grant. What's your feeling, Grant?
Well, I'm not sure what else is on the agenda with the audit committee, but if you don't need me for any other reasons, I can't step off the call. I think I've answered all of the questions that were posed. I will send responses and work with Raul to get you a follow-up support for some of the questions that we did not answer. And again, you know, the numbers won't change. If the audit committee feels comfortable approving of the report, then that's something that let me know. The only change that will be issued in the financial statements would be addition of the premiums expense by station. Other than that, the draft you have in front of you will not change. So if you're comfortable with that information, then I do recommend you go ahead and approve of the financial statements.
Well, point of information, my understanding is you were going to take out number 13 about the projected 2014.
Right. So those two changes, that disclosure will be taken out, and there will be addition of a premiums expense by station. Those are the two changes that will be reflected in the revised financial statement.
I have a question for the auditor, if I may. This is Steve Brown.
Sure.
Go ahead, Steve.
Since
you haven't spoken yet, I'll let you go ahead.
Thank you. My understanding is that an auditor has to verify the reports that are given to him by management. But what it seems has happened here is that the auditor has prepared all the background information and is verifying his own report himself. That doesn't seem like the way an audit is supposed to be done. The board has to stand behind its approval of the audit, because what it says is that the board agrees that everything is fine and that the figures represent what management says they represent. But the board has never received any reports from management, nor do I think has the auditor received reports from management. I don't understand how the audit was prepared. My second point is that it seems that the board is being held hostage with almost a blackmail threat that we don't get our director's liability insurance unless we okay this audit tonight. And those are two issues that seem to make me very uncomfortable. So I would like the auditor to answer my first question. Did he not simply prepare all these figures and is verifying his own report? That's not an audit.
We maintain independence during our audit. There was some assistance provided to management in the preparation of the financial statements, but all of the schedules that we received and audited were prepared by Raul and his staff. We were very careful to maintain that level of independence. We did not, so that we do not impair our independence as auditors. There were several accounts where reconciliations were needed or additional work was needed to reconcile those accounts, and we provided our consultation and our assistance to management. But in terms of preparing the schedules and taking responsibility for those schedules, it was all prepared by Raul and his staff. So we were certainly cognizant and careful to maintain our full independence as auditors throughout the course of the audit.
Well, I think you believe that. It seems very questionable to me. An auditor is supposed to be an adversary of management, so to speak, not take anything for granted. But you were working hand in glove with management. And if you got all these schedules from management, why did the board not get them? Because the board has to look at them and decide that if management is doing what it should, and if the state of the corporation is as management represents it, then the auditor has to go into it and look at it and see if it can be backed up. But I don't see that any of these procedures were followed. It just seems a very odd dance that everyone has been doing. It doesn't seem like an audit that we can rely on.
Maria Elena on the staff.
You're on the stack. Steve, are you finished?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your question. Carolyn, you have the floor.
Well, does Mr. Lamb have an answer? I mean, we have received no reports for 2013 from management to compare your audit to.
Was that Maria Elena?
I believe Steve is saying.
No.
Was that Maria Elena?
Point of order.
Yes.
What's your point of order?
My point of order is that the audit committee member
spoke out of turn, you have recognized Maria Elena as being on the stack.
Well, I
did not.
No, actually, I recognized Carolyn, but Kim spoke up, and
I'd like Grant to respond to what Steve said.
Grant,
would you like to respond to Steve?
Sure, there's two parts of the question. One with respect to, do we maintain our independence? And Steve had some concerns as to whether or not we truly acted as auditors or we assisted management with reconciling certain accounts. And
exactly.
We certainly did maintain our independence as auditors, something we take very serious as our professional standards require us to. Management, again, prepared the schedules. Management's taking responsibility of the schedules. Our responsibility is to audit those schedules. We certainly assisted management, provided consultation on certain areas, but we were very careful to implement safeguards to not impair our independence. The second part of this question, I believe, was with respect to a management letter. And again, we are still in the process of preparing that management letter. Our focus the past several weeks have been centered on getting the financial statements ready to be issued. There's no professional standards that require us to have a management letter issued for the report to be issued. As a best practice, we like to present the financial statements along with the management letter, but just because of the time crunch this time around, we have been focusing on getting the financial statements issued first. That's higher on our list, and we are working now on getting that management letter prepared. But it's not unusual to have the financial statements issued before the management letter gets issued. There's no requirement for us to have the management letter issued along with the financial statements.
Yeah, William for the stack.
Yeah. And Carolyn.
I got you, William. Carolyn, you're on next, and William,
thank
I got you.
Yes, sir.
And you got Pete.
Thank you. Marjolina
is still on the stack.
Excuse me?
Marjolina is still on the stack.
Yeah, you sure? Maria Elena, you're on the stack, yes. Carolyn, sorry.
Thank you. The question of the management letter is really crucial because the previous management letters have raised questions that have financial implications as well as legal ones. I think that we do need to have a financial... We need to have a management letter that addresses, as Grant pointed out, issues raised in previous management letters. This is crucial. The other point that I'd like to make is that the argument that there are repercussions to not approving this now are really scare tactics. And I really would like, especially the P&B directors on the call and on this committee, to recognize that we have a responsibility to make sure that the audit is done according to HOIL. We cannot look to threats or repercussions that make it seem as if there's undue pressure on us. The question is the audit done correctly? And I think that when all the questions we've raised tonight are answered, the audit will be done correctly. But right now, I am not willing to approve an audit that is working on partial information. And
point of personal privilege, please.
I'm not finished yet, Rule. And I would like people to really consider very carefully that directors especially have an extraordinary responsibility for fiduciary responsibility to this procedure. So please do not accept, I'm asking people not to accept, as I will not accept, the current audit as it's presented until we get answers to all of our questions. Thank you.
Okay. Raul, you have,
yes,
you can respond to your point.
I have respond to that comment about the scare tactics, and I did not bring this up. I was asked a question whether what the repercussion or the effects of delaying the audit would be. And I just gave you my point of view, what the effects would be. And I just answered the question. I never brought it up. I let you do what you need to do as an audit committee and board member. But I never done anything that would be classified as a scare tactic. And I take offense to that, and I certainly would like to clarify that, because I want to be put on record that I was just asked a question, and I answered the question, and I hope that you could only appreciate the fact that I brought this up right there and there. Thank you.
Okay. Maria Elena, you have the floor.
Did you get me?
I'm sorry?
And Carolyn, a response to that. Thank you.
Excuse me.
Maria Elena?
Everybody, there's too many people talking. I can't hear anything. Carolyn, did you want to respond to Raul?
Wait. I'm sorry. Carolyn, you need to hold your comments to yourself until everybody has exhausted the facts. I'm sorry that Kim and Carolyn have overtaken this conversation and have not allowed other people
my personal privilege. I was.
So you do not need to be responding
commented
every second,
on.
Carolyn.
Yes, I
I'm ruling that it's fair for Carolyn to respond to.
No, Chair.
It's just a back and forth. Oops. Chair, I'm challenging the ruling of the chair.
Yeah, that's out of order.
Who's trying to speak?
Point of order. You skipped Maria Elena over three times already. I mean, I think it's completely appropriate to recognize Maria Elena as a person that's next on the stack.
Well, I thought that a point
and
of privilege overruled the stack at this point.
No, the rule I'm not.
Is that Lawrence?
Yes, sir.
Maria Elena has a comment which is pertinent to the topic. So I don't know why.
Carolyn, are you?
Thank you. I would like to point out that.
I want to challenge the ruling of the chair. I'm not going to allow this meeting to go on until we take a vote on that. Carolyn, you may not speak. There's plenty of people on the stack.
Excuse me, who is chair of this committee?
No. I'm not going to stop speaking until we address the overruling of the chair.
You're challenging the ruling of the chair?
Yes, I am.
But we have to vote
on
that.
And we need to take a vote. We can't move forward. I'm sorry.
And you're challenging the ruling that I allowed?
Yes, I am. I've been challenging the ruling of the
chair.
A
personal privilege. Okay.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
You got to take the roll.
I'm asking people to vote in support of the in support of the chair's ruling. A yes vote supports my ruling. A no vote overrules it.
Point of clarity.
Kim, you want to take
the ruling was that a point of personal privilege comes before the next person on the stack. Is that is that right?
That's what I was ruling. Yes.
Everybody
that's
told
not
me that one
was challenged.
I guess I'll do the same thing. This is ridiculous.
Well,
the chair,
that's
not
exactly what you're doing. You're trying to railroad this. Who
please,
is? You and Lawrence
are
now
like
in
here.
You and Kim and Carolyn by not allowing other people to speak. So let's take the roll. Take the vote.
Kim,
excuse
take
me.
The vote.
Could one person
William
speak? Would could one person
no, a challenge to the ruling of the chair takes precedence, unfortunately, in Robert's rules.
What is the ruling of the chair that is being challenged? Thank you.
The ruling of the chair was that a point of personal privilege took precedence over a person's speaking order on the stack.
Thank you.
Here, William, point of order.
What's your point of order?
My understanding of Brenda's challenge was to your allowing someone to respond after the point of personal privilege. In other words, you said it was okay for Carolyn to now respond and it's okay to go into a back and a forth. That's my understanding of what Brenda was just saying.
It's confused,
yes,
because there
correct.
Are too many people trying to speak at the same time.
No, that
I guess
is correct.
Chair is not controlling the chair is not controlling the conversation that well. But again, a challenge to the
so the
ruling of the
not
chair.
What you previously said, Chair. It's what
excuse me, Chair. Would you Would you please moderate
Brenda,
and keep people from interrupting you? Thank you.
Brenda, what do you disagree with my presentation?
Yes, so I'm challenging what William just stated. Not the fact that Carolyn had a point of personal privilege, is that she already had it. Raul responded, and now you are allowing her to respond again. That's what I'm challenging the ruling, that you do not have the ability to do that when there's clearly a fact.
Kim, take do a roll call vote.
Okay.
Again, a yes vote supports the ruling of the chair. A no vote overrules the chair.
Okay.
And the chair doesn't vote.
All right. This is the chair, of course, can vote. The chair
do we
can
have the vote to extend the time?
This is silly because Carol...
Isn't the issue now moot? It's passed.
Take the vote.
This is a moot issue.
I'm
right. It is a moot issue, Brenda.
It's passed.
A moot issue.
It's passed.
Well, we obviously can't proceed unless you vote on this.
You can vote yes.
All right, it doesn't affect what anything. So, Steve Brown, do you
yes.
oppose the chair? Okay.
Yes.
Virginia Browning.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. The vote for the ruling of the chair is usually phrased in terms of do you support the ruling of the chair, not do you oppose it.
Okay.
So
that's
you,
what I'm
rephrase,
saying,
that?
Carolyn. Carolyn, that's what I am. I'm taking a vote.
Chair Phil.
Voted yes to uphold the chair.
Uphold the chair, thank you. All
yes.
Right. Thank you. Uh-huh.
Virginia Browning.
Abstain.
Okay. Carolyn Burden.
Yes.
Maria Elena Castellanos.
No.
Jose Luis Fuentes. Jane Gatewood. Okay. Donald Goldmacher. Okay. William Heerwagon.
No.
Kim, did you hear me with my no? It's Jose Luis Fuentes.
No, I did not.
Okay, sorry, I was on mute.
Kim Kaufman votes yes. Robert Mark. Brenda Medina.
This is Robert, I vote yes.
Brenda Medina.
I vote no.
Lawrence Reyes.
No.
Pete Tucker.
No.
Okay. Who didn't respond? Jane Gatewood.
I did respond.
I didn't hear you.
I said no.
Okay. And Donald Goldmacher. Okay, so it's 4 yes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 no. Okay, so shall we move on?
So the ruling the chair is overruled. Maria Elena, you have the floor.
Thank you. In summary, I think to point out the, as other members of the committee have pointed out, the absolute necessity of having an independent audit, one that's independent, especially from any assessment done by or based on management's assessment. I wanted to point that out, especially how important it is to have that kind of independent information as well as full information in order to allow Pacifica stations to grow in accordance with carrying out their mission, and also in an effort to recover some of these Corporation of Public Broadcasting funds that were lost in part because, in the case of KPFT, for instance, the loss of the transmitter capacity. And because of the shakiness around the audit, the budget didn't seem to conform with what the audit was saying, even as far as categories go. KPFT's transmitter has been operating of somewhere between 5% and 50% maximum of its 100,000-watt capacity during the past 2.5 years at least. And consequently, and for most of that, it's been in the realm of like 25 to 30% of its primary approved and licensed broadcast area. And so consequently, we haven't been reaching the potential members that are being really catching the brunt of the political and economic downturn and deprivations that we see in our current political economic system. But long story short is I do not feel comfortable at all in approving an audit that does not have answers to the questions that have been posed during the session and is not based on a truly, from what I can tell, independent assessment and gathering of information at the outset. I pass.
Thank you, Maria. William?
You got Pete on the stack?
No, but he's on the stack now.
And Donald for the stack.
I've asked about 8 times.
Several times.
Well, there was a lot of conversation going on, and I couldn't hear. William, you have the floor.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to, I'm from WBAI in New York. I'd like to comment on the two directors from New York and one director from Los Angeles, I believe it is, that there have been complaints that, or accusations that the audit was not independent. The auditor's job is to assess, and somebody used that word, I think maybe it was the previous speaker, is to assess what management has done and has reported, and then to test it and to verify it and to see that it is reasonable. And I would imagine they probably did find some things that they had, that they suggested changes before they even got to us or got to anybody else. And then I'd further like to comment on the what seems an inanity to me to insist on having the management letter before you approve the audit. A management letter is something that includes suggestions for us to look at various problems that we have and see if we can improve for the next year. So you're saying if they make too many complaints about what we do, you're not going to approve it? That's ridiculous. The management letter has nothing to do with the actual contents of the audit in the sense of whether we can approve it or not. The management letter is going to tell us where we went wrong and where we need to improve. And so I am totally in favor of approving the audit tonight, understanding that the auditor said he would understand us approving it, that we know what the two changes are going to be in the audit, and they're both in the footnotes, not in the dollar amounts that are in the report. And then there's going to be, and one of those footnotes is going to include some details about premiums. There is no reason to withhold approval of this audit right now, right tonight. We don't need management letters. That's absurd. And we do know what the changes are going to be, and they're not going to affect the bottom line or even any middle lines. All the numbers are going to stay the same.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pete?
Thank you. I this is the Pacifica way. We have an independent auditing firm, a respected firm, who has provided an audit, and all that's going to happen is there's going to be one request after another where there's no point at which we're going to get, there's no there. Some people are going to fight, because that's what we do at Pacifica. And all of a sudden, we're now expert auditors explaining how the auditor is not independent. This is a respected firm that we've hired to do a job, and they've done their job. And the numbers aren't going to change. They're going to and they provided us with the audit. And our job as a national board, it's a seeming job, is if you look at the actions, it's to fight endlessly. But in fact, our job is to work with management to move things forward. This is an audit with a respected firm. It's been provided to us. It's time to move forward, and then we can fit. You know, people are going to fight about something, so let's go on and fight about something else. But this needs to move. We need to move forward, and we need to. There's a lot weighing in the balance. There's no, and just step back and think. Sometimes we get caught up in the fighting, one fight after another, not looking at the bigger picture. A respected firm has provided a good audit, and I think we have a lot weighing on this that we can move forward to all for the benefit of all of our stations and the network, which to me seems why I'm a director of Pacifica, the stations and the network. I think it's important that we move forward on this tonight.
Virginia Browning to the stack.
And then Kim.
Okay, Virginia, I got you. Donald Goldmacher.
Yes, I called.
Did you
question.
Did you change it? Did you get me for the sec?
Donald, you're calling the question.
I'm calling the question on the substitute motion.
Is there any objection
point
to
of
that?
Order. Yeah, point of order. You can't do that in a committee, unfortunately.
Well, I want to put an end to this conversation, so I'm requesting that the chair move ahead and call a roll call vote on the substitute motion. I think we know what the vote stack lays out here, and I think we need to vote and move on and get this going.
Unfortunately, I can't do that. Virginia,
so
you have
to. So you're going to let the delaying tactics go on here? That's what you're going to do?
Well, I'm going to let the members of the committee speak until they want to make a vote.
One another.
Okay, I am not going to put out a delaying tactic. I'm new. I'm probably going to abstain anyway. But I just want to editorialize to balance out the editorializing about fixing past coups and things like that, because I was around when work was being done by some of the people that have been vilified here. And I just want to put in a word for some of the people here that are implying that past coups have caused all the problems. My vote isn't going to matter, but I just want to balance the editorializing. Thank you.
Thank you, Virginia. Kim?
Well, my two main concerns here is still that we don't have documents from 2013 from management in order to compare to the audit. That's why people are confused and maybe saying, "They, you know, what was this audit based on?" We don't have any reports from management. You may have, you know, Armenino may have gotten schedules, but we haven't. So we don't know where these numbers are coming from. I mean, I asked what's the difference between, you know, almost $40,000 in personnel expenses. I have no idea where that number comes from. And, you know, that's a big gap for me between what the station was reporting and what you're reporting, and I don't have anything in between to know, well, where was that $40,000? Because the end deficit number is the same. But if there's $40,000 moved around, where else did that come from? Those are my problems. Like, I don't have anything to compare this audit to be able to review management's work, which is the point of an audit. It's not just to get, you know, financials from an auditor, but it's to compare what we are given by management, number one. And number two, I am really confused about this D&O insurance. Because I have been told one thing, and I sent a letter about it today, and nobody has. And I, like I said, I've asked questions for months now, so I don't understand about this 15th. You know, this March 15th date. It's the first I've heard of it, and yes, it is sort of scare tactics, and I'm feeling hostage. Well, my God, if this doesn't get approved, that happens. And this is the first I'm hearing about it, and I've heard different information that only a letter was required. and the date was today for that to happen. So I don't really know, and that's a big problem for me. And that seems to be the most crucial part of whether this gets approved or not, and I feel like I'm being held hostage. Like, I have to prove something I don't want to approve tonight because of something that I'm not clear about. So that's it for me. Thanks.
Well, I've exhausted my stack here. Anybody else?
Just Jane Gatewood. Can you hear me?
Yes,
I'm
I can
Carolyn
hear you. Fine.
On the stack, please. And Carolyn, thank you.
Okay. Jane, you have the floor.
Once again, I do believe that we should approve this provisionally tonight, and my only reason for recommending that is because of the difficulty of staying on schedule with the numerous committees that people have obligations to. I've heard the remarks from the auditor that he would like for us as a committee to have the final product before we approve it, and I greatly appreciate that. And agree with it in principle. However, given the logistics of scheduling, I think that there would be no harm at all in us providing a provisional approval. And my reasoning is this. We're scheduled to meet again in 2 weeks. If the if Raul is able to provide the required documentation in order for the audited reports to satisfy the concerns that have been expressed by several of the directors who are members of this committee, and if the board, the full board, wishes to take up approval of the audit on that basis. In other words, if the requested schedules have been provided prior to the time that we as a committee meet again, I don't think it's helpful for us to add delay to the PMB approval process. And I do think that if we provide a provisional approval subject to the provision that the requested schedules and corrections will be provided, that would provide the PMB with that option of approving it, and if for some reason that's not done before we meet again, then fine. We're going to get a chance to go back over the numbers again, and hopefully, perhaps the management letter. Although I think that the auditor's focus on the financial statements is very logical, and I do not think we need to see that management letter before we approve the audited statements. What I heard from Raul that I found very significant and compelling is that in order to continue making progress on preparing for the 2014 audit, he needs to have these numbers finalized. And so if the auditor, I'm hearing from the auditor that the bottom line numbers are clear. If I missed something, I apologize, but I haven't heard anything that's going to suggest that there's bottom line numbers that he needs, that Raul needs in order to proceed with 2014 work are going to change. And so on that basis, I really think that we need to approve this subject to the understanding that the requested statements will be provided, and that would allow the PMB to take it up if they are provided, and if not, we have a chance again in 2 weeks to revisit everything in detail. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. Carolyn?
I have a point of procedure. Was somebody next? I have a point of procedure,
Carolyn's
but I'll
next.
Wait. I'll wait.
Carolyn is next.
Yes, thank you. I think Jane's point is well taken that we need to have the numbers. I don't, however, agree that we should approve it until we have the numbers. I didn't get an answer to my question as to exactly when we could expect an answer to our questions. And I think we're entitled to those. I don't like being held hostage to issues that we should have had answers to long ago. The management letter question is absolutely crucial. The last letter, and I'm saying this even though it was a letter to management, it was a public information that spread all over the place, so this is not new news, was that, in fact, we didn't have we were not a growing concern at that point. I'd like to know what the current auditors believe about that. I'd like to know when the current auditors would be able, if not willing, to begin the next audit, whether or not that's contingent on whether we approve this current audit at tonight's meeting or we wait for an answer to our letters. And I'd like to have a date by which Grant thinks we may actually get answers to the various questions we've raised tonight. We've raised some very serious questions. I'd like to point out to the directors, and again, I'm sorry to make a distinction here, but there is a distinction. The directors have a serious amount of liability on the question of voting for an audit, and abstention will not do. Directors must decide whether they approve or don't approve of this particular audit. And we need to proceed with that understanding that we alone, even though the audit committee is responsible on several levels, the PNB director is responsible for approving or disapproving of this audit, and we will be held accountable going forward. If not in a court of law, then in a court of public opinion of WBI members who are really reign supreme here. So I would like to urge people not to vote to approve this audit until we get an answer, and I would appreciate knowing when we will get an answer to some of our questions. A very firm answer, not as soon as, but, you know, 1 week, 2 weeks, whatever. Thank you.
Okay, William, you have the floor.
Okay, the previous speaker is raising issues that were, in the vast majority, already answered by the auditor quite clearly, and I think the question of the management letter has been discussed, and the management letter is not a part of the requirement to approve an audit. And another director previously spoke, said we never got any financial reports for the year 2013 to compare to the audit. Now, I understand there is a need to separate the audit functions, audit committee functions, and finance committee functions. And therefore, the way Pacifica has scheduled meetings recent years is that those two committees meet on the same night, so you can't participate in both. Fine. But I listen. When we're not meeting on the same night, I'm listening to finance. When we meet on the same night, I go back and I listen to finance. If you listen to the treasurer speak most of the year, there have been reports issued, and he's dealt with that question. I don't know the details of what dates were issued, but the treasurer has certainly addressed them in the finance committee meetings when people bring up bogus arguments like that, like reports haven't been issued. Reports were certainly issued. Maybe Raul knows the answer to that, when they were issued. And I still think we need to approve this audit, and I resent the comments that people are being held hostage. And as for the last point, I do not believe, I could be wrong, but I do not believe that I've ever heard the PNB approve an audit. I believe it's this committee that approves the audit, or as some people recently say, accept the audit. Thank you.
Point of information.
Maria Elena understand?
Point of information, yeah. From Raul.
What's your point of information?
Yes, I just wanted to give information. The preliminary unaudited 2013 year-end financial statements were sent to the PNB on August 9, 2014. Thank you.
Maria Elena, you have the floor.
Some of the discrepancies that have been raised at KPFT's LSB meetings regarding the financial status of the station have never really been addressed, and the audit, even the categories in the audit, if you look at them during the past, the 2012 and the 2013 as an example, even erase certain categories. And again, I'm referring to funds that supposedly were received, again, for this impaired transmitting equipment at KPFT. And something like 44,000 or something like that. And then when the local station board, when we were discussing the financials, somehow or another, that amount came about in the questioning of the management, which indicated that they just unilaterally decided, hey, they're not going to preserve those earmarked funds for upgrading our impaired transmitter equipment, and decided to use it for something else. Specifically, I think it had to do with some sort of personnel salaries or benefits. But the long and short of it is this. The overall functioning of the station and carrying out its mission in trying to reach what it's been licensed to reach, 100,000 watts worth of broadcast area, which in Houston, Texas, would reach a large number of disenfranchised sectors of the local population. And they're not being reached with the unique kinds of programming that KPFT and Pacifica stations have. So I just simply want to point out, I do not feel comfortable at all in approving an audit that doesn't have any indication that there was even an effort raised during the past period of time for any kind of on-site inspection or verification of the kinds of documents that come out of KPFT's local management regarding its financial well-being. That's about it. I pass. Thank you.
Okay. I don't have anybody else on the stack. It seems to me that we're going over the same material over and over again. Is there any...
This is Kim. I just have a point of information.
What's your point of information?
Well, are you talking about the preliminary unaudited stuff from 2013, 2012? The preliminary unaudited, is that what you're saying was sent to us? Or is
that's
there something
correct.
Else? Okay. So, but that's never been finalized.
It is labeled as preliminary,
right.
Audited. This is the final financial statements that the auditors are issuing.
Mm-hmm. Can we vote now?
Is there any objection to voting on Kim's amendment? Or,
it's a substitute.
Substitute amendment?
No, it's a substitute motion, Fred.
I'm sorry.
I'll read it again if people want.
Is there any objection to voting? Is there any objection to voting on it?
No.
Could you read it again, please? Thank you.
I move to substitute that we schedule a second meeting as soon as possible in order to review the final draft and the requested backup documents before approving.
Okay.
Point of order, Chair. This is Lawrence.
What's your point of order, Lawrence?
So my point of order seems like Ms. Coffin wants to have two bites of the apple, and she's moving to amend her own motion or substitute her own motion, which I think is completely out of order.
Well, I'm confused. I just read what I had written down about a half an hour ago or however long ago.
It's a substitute motion. You get to vote on it.
Could a member explain?
Kim?
That was my substitute motion.
Yes.
I'm...
You're voting... Basically, you're voting...
We're voting on that first.
Can the chair remind me what the underlying motion is?
I don't understand the point of order. I'm sorry.
Okay. Brenda moved to approve the audit.
Right.
I made a substitute that we schedule a second meeting as soon as possible in order to review the final draft and the requested backup documents before approving.
I understand that. I don't understand the question about it.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Can we vote on this? I'm sorry.
Let's proceed.
Okay, let me... Steve Brown.
Yes.
Virginia Browning.
Yes.
Carolyn Burton.
Yes.
Maria Elena Castellanos. Okay, I'll come back. Jose Luis Fuentes.
No to the substitute.
Okay. Jane Gatewood?
No.
Donald Goldmacher?
No.
William Heerwagon?
No.
Kim votes yes. Robert Mark?
Yes.
Brenda Medina?
No.
Lawrence Reyes?
No.
Tucker? Pete Tucker?
No.
And Fred Blair?
Yes.
And Maria Elena Castellanos? All right. Did I get everybody?
We lost her.
Seven. So that fails.
Right. Now we go to the original motion.
Yes.
I'm sorry, would you go over the votes?
People voting yes, Brown, Browning, Burton, Kaufman, Mark, and Blair. And no.
No, I mean, could you call again the people?
No.
No,
the vote's been announced. Sorry.
They may have been muted. They should have been called.
It's over, Carolyn.
Carolyn, somebody's trying to speak.
Maria Castellanos back on the call. I was cut off.
Yeah, you missed the vote,
I mean?
Maria. You missed the vote.
That's what I mean. Well, no, she...
That's the way
I was cut off. Maria Elena Castellanos.
Okay. We're now voting on Brenda's motion to approve.
Okay. And I vote no.
Well, you're not called yet, Maria. We're just starting yet.
Continue.
Yes, I'd like to. Okay, so Steve Brown.
Yes.
Virginia Browning.
Pass.
Carolyn Burton.
No.
Maria Elena Castellanos.
No.
Jose Luis Fuentes.
Yes.
Jane Gatewood.
Pass.
Donald Goldmacher.
Yes.
William Heerwagon.
Yes.
Kim Kaufman votes no. Robert Mark?
No.
Brenda Medina?
Yes.
Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Pete Tucker?
Yes.
And Virginia Browning?
She passed.
No.
And Jane Gatewood.
I apologize. I have to abstain. I'm sorry.
You didn't call on the chair.
Oh, I'm sorry, Fred Blair. Sorry.
No.
Six. Seven yes and six no.
Motion passes.
That's right.
Point of information, Chair?
What's your point of information, Lawrence?
So that's going to be reported forthwith by one of the directors on this committee. Would it be the secretary? Or would it be
I assume the secretary will notify the P&B.
Thank you.
Well, I assume the auditors and the CFO will. I mean, we don't, you know, it's...
The audit committee should inform the auditors to finalize the audit with the revision that was discussed.
Should say that again?
I think the audit committee should let the auditors know that the motion has passed to finalize the audit.
Is Grant still on the call?
I am still here.
Yeah, so I guess you've been, I guess the committee has told you.
You've been noticed.
Okay, well, there was two agenda items that were added at the end of the agenda. One was the notice that we have a regular meeting of the audit committee on March 24th. I forget what the second item was.
To approve the minutes from the previous meeting, I move to postpone that to the next meeting.
Second.
Doesn't need a second. Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, the minutes are postponed to the regular meeting on March 24th. Is there anybody calling to adjourn the meeting?
Hey, William, I move to adjourn.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, we are adjourned.